Welcome, everybody, to the Moose Room. It is just Emily here today. So we are going to do a solo episode of the Emily Show here. So, you know, I want to do a quick episode about something that is just on my mind because we are experiencing it right now. At the time of me recording this, it is currently below zero outside. So we are fully in the throes of cold winter weather. And I did take a look at the Farmer's Almanac, so that is still something that I like to refer to. You can thank my dad for that, I guess. But Farmer's Almanac is predicting that the rest of this winter will be cold and wet. So, you know, wet makes me nervous because that doesn't always mean snow. But, you know, knowing it's going to be cold, and of course, I know a lot of us live in Minnesota, you know, not all of our listeners do, but a lot of you do. Of course, that's where Brad and I live, is here in Minnesota. So, you know, we think we know a lot about winter and we're prepared for cold weather, but I always think that we can be a little more informed, right? A little more ready. And I think that because we live in it and we know it gets cold every year, we maybe get a little too comfortable or relaxed with the very real risks that are associated with winter weather and with specifically the cold, right? So when we work in the cold, we need to keep in mind, similar to working in summer, right? We talk about getting heat stress, not just cattle. I'm talking about people now, right? So people can get heat stress, heat stroke. Similarly, we can get cold stress, right? And so that's things like hypothermia and other conditions that we can get. And so it is really important to remember that cold stress can happen, and kind of similar to in cattle, it happens in conditions where it may be cold, but also very windy and also wet, right? So just like we think about our cattle having their thick winter coats and being kept dry and out of the wind, we need to think about the same things for us and for the other people working on our farm. Right. So just briefly on cold stress, if you're wondering, well, what does that look like? What does that mean? A lot of the symptoms are actually similar to heat stress, right? So this can be things like slowed pulse and breathing, confusion, you know, being fatigued. Of course, some cold stress specific symptoms also include uncontrollable shivering, a loss of coordination of muscles, blue skin, dilated pupils. So these are the things to kind of look out for cold stress in particular. You know, I also talked about if it's windy or wet. So that is where we see things like frostbite. So skin that may be exposed and wet and then has wind on it. It can take 5 or 10 minutes or less for frostbite to develop. So, you know, also, of course, if we get really wet or are somehow drenched and can't get dry fast enough, again, hypothermia could be an issue there as well. So, you know, lots of stuff that can happen from cold. And so it's just important to be mindful when working in the cold. And I would say, you know, as Minnesotans or Midwesterners, I think one of the first things we think about is clothing, at least for me, right? You may be familiar with one of my favorite Minnesota or maybe Midwest adages, which is there's no such thing as bad weather, just bad clothing. And I'm a pretty firm believer in that, right? I like the cold weather, and I think that, you know, we can be out in the cold as long as we are dressed properly for it. So we have talked about some of this previously way back in episode 151. So if you want to learn more or just hear more discussion about cold weather stuff, you can check out that episode. But in that episode, I talked a little bit about layers, and I just want to reiterate some of that and expand on it a little bit. Shout out to UMass, the Upper Midwest Ag Safety and Health Center. They actually put out some really great resources on dressing for winter success. So we will make sure that we get this article linked in the show notes. And so a key thing with the layers and kind of a fun fact, I guess, The first layer you put against your skin should not be cotton. So you really want the layer against your skin to be a fabric that is moisture wicking, that can pull moisture and sweat away from your skin. Because yes, even if you are cold, or it is cold, if you're wearing enough layers and moving your body will still get warm and will produce some sweat. And so, right, cotton will just soak up that moisture and hold it against your skin, whereas something synthetic or sweat wicking, you know, wool is another good example of that, can help pull some of that moisture away and thus keep you warmer. So again, first layer should not be cotton, should be something synthetic or wool. And then, you know, adding more moistures on or layers over the top of that, right? So, something lightweight and then get heavier and heavier as you continue to go. So a light fleece jacket, and then you put on the big wool sweater, and then you'll put on your big jacket. You know, those layers, again, it's really about insulating and you're keeping your body warm, right? Your body holds all the important stuff, your organs and all of that. So we want to keep that up to temp, right? And then, of course, outside of just the clothing, there's also the accessories, right? So we know a lot of heat can escape through the top of our heads. So wearing a hat, I usually like to do a hat and then a hooded sweatshirt and put the hood over. And then I also put the hood of my jacket up once I have that on too. So that's three layers, you know, just over the top of my head to help keep that heat contained. Also, you know, again, I mentioned frostbite or when it's really windy, you may be susceptible to windburn. So that's something that I get. You know, if you see me in the winter, you'll see I have very kind of red, irritated looking cheeks, and that's windburn. And that's a sign that I didn't have my face properly covered. So if you see me and you see that, you have my permission to call me out. So wearing, you know, a scarf, a gaiter, a buff, something over your face. I am definitely one of those people that if it is below zero and I am outside, you will see my eyes and that's about it. The rest of me is covered. So just knowing, you know, have those layers. Also, mittens are good, you know, mittens or gloves. Mittens do keep your hands warmer. That is, you know, a fact. But of course we know in a farming situation, gloves are usually a little more practical for detailed work, right? You know, but if you can, try to wear, you know, a glove, then wear a mitten over it. So when you aren't needing your hands to do that really detailed, specific work, your hands are staying warm, and then you can pop the mittens off, still have gloves on, do your task, and then have the mittens back on. I know for me, if my fingers are cold, my hands get stiff, you know, one not so awesome thing about aging, you get stiff when it gets cold, right? And so, you know, keeping those warm. And then lastly, your feet, right? Along with your hands. If my feet are cold, I can't focus on anything else. So that is, again, you may want to do a layer. So a thin synthetic moisture wicking sock, and then a thicker wool sock over the top. Again, we'll keep that moisture away from the skin, but also keep you insulated and warm. So again, thank you, UMass, for those outstanding dressing for success tips in winter weather. And I think that's something that we sometimes overlook, right? We just know, oh, I need layers. And so we just put on layer on layer on layer. But be mindful of the fabric you're using as well, because that will make a difference. All right. So we talked a little bit, you know, about clothing, about signs of cold stress. Just a few other things I want to wrap up with here are just thinking about working in the cold, you know, and recently Bradley and I, we were talking about barn fire prevention, and we talked about things like space heaters, right? Heating elements. And I know in cold weather, again, those can be really tempting to use. And so I encourage you to think about, you know, if you do need to have, you know, an indoor heated area for yourself or employees, you know, having that, having some protocols or safety parameters in place. I will also say now a lot of the new model space heaters you can get will turn off automatically after either a set amount of time, or they'll have temperature sensors in them. So just like, you know, our home thermostats. They can sense once they've reached a certain temp and then they'll turn off. So if you are going to use equipment like that, making those proper safety considerations for them, but also other considerations when working in the cold, normally outdoor tasks, right? Is it something that has to get done or is it something that could be moved inside, right? Fixing something. Of course, some jobs are outside and need to be outside. So also thinking about, if you have 3 outdoor tasks to complete each day, maybe instead of doing all 3 of them in a row, if it's really cold, you do an outdoor task and then go in and warm up, right? Give your skin a break from that cold exposure, do another job, and then you can go back out, right? So just, again, kind of common sense, being mindful and just trusting your intuition and how you're feeling. If you're so cold that that's all you can focus on, it's probably time to go in and warm up and take a break. Also thinking about the time of day of tasks, right? We know it's typically warmer kind of at midday, and that's true even in the winter. And warmer might not be the best word to use, right? I'm thinking of yesterday. I think it was -4 when I woke up. And then around noon when I went to walk the dog, because it would be quote unquote warmer, it was up to 11 degrees, but still more pleasant than -4. So if you're also doing outdoor tasks, thinking about, trying to do it at the best time of day when it is going to be warmest, or if the sun is out that day, the sun being in the sky also makes a difference in warmth and how we feel. So those types of considerations. And then lastly, just thinking about things like ice, right? Slips, trips, and falls. And what do workers or what do you need to stay safe that way, right? Do you have enough sidewalk salt available? Do people need, the cleats, the spikes for their boots? What is the plan to prevent those? Just again, kind of these common sense things, but I wanted to give you a reminder, working in the cold is a necessary part of the job, but it does present some dangers. So we do want to make sure that we are doing it safely. So I am going to wrap this solo episode there. So if you are interested in learning more specifically from UMASH, you can find them online, UMASH, UMASH. .umn.edu. You can also find cold weather and safety information on the extension website, extension.umn.edu/farm safety. If you have questions, comments, or scathing rebuttals about today's episode, you can email those to themoosroom@umn.edu. I hope you stay warm out there, and we will catch you all next week. Bye. Boom. Crushed it.